Griffin isn't alone in his cynicism about established organizations like the AFL-CIO and the new members of the Change to Win coalition. Some doubt the IWW's role in the future of the labor movement. We return to Reverend Finley C. Campbell, professor of English at DeVry Institute of Technology, who spoke with me at the IWW conference about his work in South Chicago.
I am a new member of a group called the Midwest Workers Association. I was given my official volunteer status this past Friday, just yesterday. So I will not speak with any major authority, but I can speak about the three great principles which our organization is committed to. First, we recognize that organizing on the job is like organizing in Nazi Germany. I know you can't use those words anymore since Mr. Durbin has apologized, but there are so many constraints. There's so lack of protection for union organizers, even with the NLRB and all of that stuff in place. The Bush administration and its labor department, whatever it might be, has pretty much blocked out the kind of organizing on the job. I'm thinking of this very tragic strike that's going on at the Hotel Congress, Pick Hotel. It's just a sad symbolic action, and it's a kind of a false consciousness that anything can be won by a kind of heroic, stoic staying out front of a place where people kind of walk past you, including your fellow union leaders. So we backed away from that. And our theory of organizing is we don't want the NLRB to be involved with us at all. We're going to organize in the old-fashioned way. And that is, you go in a community where there are workers, and we're looking for workers. We just don't organize community organizing. We organize people who work but who do not have unions. And we go to their homes so we can talk with them and know we can meet with them in our union hall without the kind of elaborate bureaucratic structure that the AFL and CIO have established to make sure that organizing doesn't take place. And so the first thing we do is set up a benefits program. We call it a 11 points benefit program. As soon as the person joins, they immediately have access to benefits without us having to make a deal with a boss. We have set up a volunteer structure for medicine and dentist care, food distribution, clothing distribution, counseling, sort of the basic things that people need just to stay alive on a day-to-day basis. Instead of doing it individually with defeat occurring because you can't get something done, we do it collectively. We borrow that aspect of the union movement and put it inside of this structure. So it's not community being organized, workers in a community that are being organized. The second great principle is that everybody who works in the leadership are volunteers. We literally depend on the community for food, for rent money, for gas money, whatever we need, our workers, our members of our organization sustain the participants. So we avoid all the dues that we collect, which starts at 67 cents and works its way up to $21 for three years, is fed into maintaining the office, making sure we got the electricity paid, et cetera, et cetera. And then thirdly, we carry out what we call benefit struggles around heat, people having their rent jacked up on them and needing some help, mobilizing 2,000 or 3,000 people to go down to, say, a city hall meeting concerning education in the community. And I think the best thing we can describe that as being is it's grassroots unionizing, in which we get not organized again some old lady down the street. We love old ladies down the street, but these are people who work, who are looking for work, who want to work, but are kept out of the union struggle because they're not always in an area where work is available or where their unionizing is legal.
Okay, then what is the end product? I mean, how do you get jobs for people, or how do you get better wages for people by organizing just around community issues?
Our theory is that we want to teach the people participating to be the organizers. They must then get on the job, and they must then, we have classes on labor organizing, history of labor. Then once we have taught them the basic techniques, Then we say, go on the job and organize a branch of the MWA on your job. If there is, in fact, a union on that job, then you should get into that union and bring MWA principles to the people who are in the union. If the union is blocking you out, then what you'd have to do is to organize a parallel union, like the IWW had to do with the AFL. So to that degree, we have many things in common. So it's not our job to organize. It's the job of that person who's got a job working at, let's say, McCormick Place as a security guard. And if there is no union for security guards, then he would proceed to organize it in that same way. Go to the people at their homes. Go visit with them. Get them to be able to sign up there. And then when the time comes for a strike, because that's what you ultimately you'll have to do, then you're ready to do so. And by building solidarity with the other groups and other rank-and-file people, so that if there's scabbing taking place, it clearly demonstrates that a particular union is double-crossing us and stabbing us in the back.
So you're still endorsing strikes, even though you said that the Congress Hotel strike is...
No, you're right. You got to know when you've been defeated. You got to know when you got to retreat and reorganize. If you really want to make the Pick Congress Hotel bleed, you're going to have to take them on. They just some sort of have a symbolic picket line in front, hoping that some tired businessman who's there to make a $100 million deal is going to respect your picket line is not going to work. It would be better if you say, okay, we lost this one. Let's go back to the drawing board and see where do we make a mistake. They've got to learn to retreat. When the enemy is strong, you retreat. Otherwise, you wear people out. You frustrate them, and then you disillusion them. If particularly if you said, we're going to win, you can't win a strike unless every worker supports your picket line. There's no way to win a strike like that. Depend on boycotts. I mean, the great boycott was to me a great disillusion and experience. I didn't eat any grapes. So what did Richard Nixon do? He had the Army order $100,000 worth of grapes or something like that for the Army. So when you're going up against power, you've got to have some other kind of power at your play. And that's why we prefer to patiently build up the organizers within the workplace themselves. And when they are really committed and strong, go for the strike. But evaluate what can and what you cannot win. You cannot just simply rhetorize a strike. You got to win a strike. Right now, it's a tragic time. It's a tragic time. We're not going to be able to be ready for that big push until we got more people actually organizing on the job. And I think that's inevitable because more and more people are being pushed out of what we would call the unionizable categories, part-timers, adjuncts. I work at a school where the boss just said, you're not going to have a union here at our school. And we tried to form a little group called the DeVry Faculty Association and couldn't get it off the ground. They laid off about 300 people throughout the whole DeVry system. Not a peep. It's a tragic time. Consciousness is key. So right now it's the building of the consciousness. Once consciousness is in place and an organizational structure willing to channel that consciousness, then all things are up for grabs. And, of course, our vision is not just to win a little bacon here and a little chicken there. We do want to get people to grasp this notion that you won this strike, you won this battle. Why not aim for the bigger picture, dealing with this entire system?
That was Professor Finley C. Campbell of DeVry Institute of Technology and a volunteer with the Midwest Workers Association.
We shall not, be moved. We shall not, be moved just like a tree that stands by the water. We shall not be moved.
We'll build a mighty union.
We'll build a mighty union. We shall not be moved. We'll build a mighty union. We shall not be moved just like a tree that stands by the water. We shall not be.
From the Trenches was produced by Chicago's Independent Media Center at the studios of Loyola University, with help from Mitchell Stepinchek, Dick Riley, Chris Giovannis, and Jerry Mead with Labor Express. You can post your own stories, listen to this program again, or find more labor news by going to our website. That's www.chicago.indymedia.org. Many thanks to WLUW for their continued support. Listen again on the last Monday in September for another report from the trenches.
We're fighting for our children.